believe.
Thank you, sir. Our agenda, sir, we've got five items on the agenda. First is the draft committee program for 2012, second quarter. Then the second one, D, is our draft committee program on the budget vote, vote number 35. And then the third one is our committee report on the international study tour from Mexico. And then the other one is the overview, the draft committee on the diagnostic overview of the National Planning Commission and our draft minutes of our last three meeting. if I can start, Jefferson, with the draft program of the committee, I've included, I think even last week, but although we couldn't look at the program in last week because the presentation of the department take almost up to 1 o'clock, so we didn't have time to look at the second program of the committee. the program, Chair, it starts from the 17th of April and it will end on the 22nd of June. If we can look at number one, the 17th, that has been done. Two, the 24th of April, this is what we are supposed to do today, the consideration of the draft portfolio committee report in preparation for the debate on the 3rd of May. And then number three is the debate on budget vote number 35 of tourism, which we are told that is going to be in committee room E249 at 2 o'clock on the 3rd of May. Then on the 8th of May, we are proposing members so that we can have a local oversight visit to Mitchell's Plain, where we will be meeting with the SMMEs of Mitchell's Plain. We've done that before with the tourism SMMEs of Khayelitsha, Nyanga, and Ugulechu. Then our second phase was that we're supposed to meet with the SMMEs from Mitchell's Plain and Manenberg areas. We are proposing that meeting to be on the 8th of May. On number five, the 11th of May up to the 14th, we have received an invitation from the minister so that the committee can attend the tourism Indaba in Durban in the Chief Albert Luthuli Convention Center from 11th of May up to the 14th. I will come back to that issue, Chair. Then on the 22nd, number six, we are also proposing that to have our follow-up meeting with the Department of Home Affairs and the International Relations Department on this whole issue of tourism growth, their assistance, and so on and so on, in as far as tourism development is concerned, including the issue of this flexible visas and so on. We are proposing that meeting to be on the 22nd of May. Then the 29th of May, Tuesday, we are also proposing, Chair, that meeting with the portfolio committee on arts and culture on the revitalization of the heritage and cultural tourism. As members will recall, that was an issue that was also raised sharply by the President in the State of the Nation Address this year when he was opening Parliament. Again, Chair, the parliamentary program has afforded the committees of parliament an opportunity again so that they can undertake oversight visits. So the 4th of June up to the 8th, that whole week has been set aside for committees to do their oversight work. So we are proposing on our side so that we can continue with our visit to the provinces. But this time we take the Mpumalanga province, where we can go and check how far they are doing with the tourism in that part of the province. On the 12th, number 9, We are proposing that we have our meeting as a committee with the Department of Transport and Airport South African Airport Company in South Africa, so that we can have some discussion with them, a follow up on their assistance in terms of tourism development and growth in the country. Again, on the 18th to 22nd, that's number 10, we have again been afforded another week for oversight visit. For this time, we are proposing that we take the Eastern Cape to visit the Eastern Cape or on the provincial oversight visit. And then on the 22nd of June or 23rd or 24th will be the last day for this thing. So those are our proposals, Chairperson, that we are putting before the committee for the support of the committee. We know we were supposed to have discussed this report in last week, just before the meeting of the 17th, but unfortunately, the circumstances were beyond our control. Our meeting on the 13th of March, it took us up to 1:15. Our meeting on the 17th, it also took us up to 1:00. So we were really not able to look at in our committee report and consider and adopt it for possible implementation. So we are tabling it to the committee for the support of the committee, so that we can be able to make advanced preparations in terms of informing the provinces where we want to go, whatever offices that we need to be in contact with in time, so that we can be able to implement our program successfully. Thank you, Chair.
Hearing the proposed program and for our consideration, and then if you are satisfied, then accept it. Mr. Faro.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you. I think the program is fine. I just wanted a bit more detail if possible, because there are periods which, you know, over committee weeks and also over weekends, which we just need to have a fix on. Jerry did say he was going to talk more about the Indaba. I assume that, is it over, I've never been there, but is it over 3 or 4 days, from Friday to the 14th, are we going to go there for one day, because I don't think we need to be there for the whole period. Could you just give me some indication there, and then, because we do have, on the Friday, we have store EPCs in our city. Then the other one really relates again to those committee weeks, when we are talking about going to either Mpumalanga or Eastern Cape, and I know maybe it's a bit premature to look at details of that, but, you know, what is the normal visitation? Because, you know, we have caucus meetings on a Thursday, irrespective, and, you know, so it would interrupt that week if we needed to go. And can you just have some insight into that as to what your plans are? Thank you, Chip.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Chair, after the invitation was received from the minister, then what we have done, we have consulted the chairperson, and then we put a request and we submitted a request. So the committee was given a go ahead to attend the Durban Tourism Indaba. On the basis that, one, last year we couldn't attend because the Indaba clashed with the local government election campaign time. So on the basis of that, we were not granted permission to attend. This time we have been granted permission to attend only on one condition, that we leave after the EPCs. So the 11th is on a Friday, I understand, and then the 14th is on a Monday. So it will be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then we come back in on Monday evening. Because on Tuesday, the EPCs are proceeding again. Therefore, the committee has to be back again at that time.
So, am I right to say, sorry, I want to put the mic on that you're going to be there for the whole period?
No, no, it's going to be 11th, we are going to arrive in the afternoon. Then we are there on Saturday, we are there on Sunday, we are there on Monday, then in the afternoon on Monday, we come back.
Yeah, I think I do get your point. If you're under pressure for one reason or the other, we can talk and then so that we can shorten the stay in accommodation for some people. But what is important is interacting with stakeholders on the ground. For you to be, we are doing oversight thing. We want to hear provinces, what provinces are represented. And a lot of businesses are there. So you can't finish all those people in 3 days. So it gives you a good grasp of the industry to be part of the DAVA. And I invite members to stop at these stalls because it's sort of an exhibition and talk to people. And then that gives you good oversight. Honorable Shah, then Thomas Nomo
together. Chair, I think... some of us have, like my colleague has a constituency at regular meeting on the day, we can always, we don't have to be there 24/7. You could attend and then go, and you can always come back within that, you know, period if you so wish. I don't think you're not compelled to be there throughout the day. Am I correct?
Yes. You see, what, but at the same time, we do not want to have wasteful expenditure booked for you for 3 days when you are going to stay for 1 day. So we've got to balance the two. But otherwise, yeah, you can go there and come back. As long as you interact with stakeholders, because really, that's where you are really doing oversight. Because if you look at the mandate of the tourism, of the Department of Tourism, it's more of a catalyst than the actual doing of business. So that's the idea. If you do not talk with the small businesses, guest houses, the hotels, the associations that are there, the provinces, because even all provinces are represented, then really you do not have a good understanding of the industry.
Chairperson, I rise to support the program. I'm quite excited about it. I've gone through it before coming to this. And I would like to congratulate the minister for having invited the committee to be present at Indaba, because that is where it's at. For members of this committee to attend, as we have already explained what actually happens when we are out there. And well, with me as an individual, I have no problem with the duties of the party when I'm attending the affairs of the PC. It's very important when Parliament is having oversight and all the like of it. For instance, meeting the small business people, it's very important for this committee because there are issues that we come across when we meet those people. They've got so much to tell. And they happen to have an advantage of working with the members of the committee, you know, at their disposal. So I see here, my special the Eastern Cape, because it's a big problematic. That's one of the provinces which we need to visit and get whatever complaints and thank you.
No, I think if we agree, we can organize ourselves. Say for instance, from KwaZulu Natal, I attend to KwaZulu Natal in another province. Comrade Sarai attends to Philippines in another province. Monle, Limpopo, you talk to those people, discuss issues in the province. Eastern Cape, Umamuso, Faro, Eastern Cape, and another Eastern province. Sha, KwaZulu Natal in another province. Ziganana, Gauteng in another province. Eastern Cape and another province, so that we just cover all the provinces. You're, at the same time, you've got to attend to your province, and because and then you attend to the province and the town, because you find that, for instance, in KwaZulu Natal, you find that in the province, you find Devon exhibiting on its own. You find the war memorial sites exhibiting on their own. You find the Drakensberg exhibiting on their own. You find all the different towns exhibiting on their own. So now, if you want to have a focused distinct attention to the Indama, perhaps we can divide our distinct our approaches. And then, if we agree, then the province where you stay. And then another province. Perhaps with your permission, Jerry can organize us in such a way that we attend to every province, but starting with your own province. Because some provinces are not covered amongst us, then we concentrate, we allocate people to also cover the other provinces. For instance, Northwest is covered. There's no one from Limpopo. So we get someone from to cater for in Limpopo. We get someone to cater for the Northern Cape. We have your province, and then you look at the other one as well. So I think that with your permission, we can organize ourselves after knowing who exactly is going and who is not going. Is that agreed in principle?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Jerry, then you provide a roster or sort of timetable or something.
Yeah,
I don't have the correct English.
I'm sure we agree with your proposal. I think it is a privilege for us to be invited to the province of Indaba, because, as you have said, it gives us the opportunity to meet the stakeholders. I think sadly that we are not able in our program to accommodate everybody. But I was just wondering, Chairperson, whether the same privilege, I call it a privilege, is afforded the provincial legislators, because they are the ones who oversee the provinces, where, as we have said before, the real action takes place, the real implementation takes place in the area of policy. Now, the other point I wanted to raise in connection with the program generally, but I know that is late now, but I wish it could be considered, you know, for the future. I'm still very unhappy myself about the time you allocate to the session of the strategic plan and the budget, as we have heard already. From year to year, we find that we don't have enough time, we don't give ourselves enough time to interact with the department on their strategic plan and the budget. So, of course, I know I expected to give a report about that, but the fact of the matter is 2.5 hours is hardly enough for such an important task. I don't know what can be done, but I really feel we should make sure that when we design our program for this term, we always make sure that we have at least a full day for that program. We have gone now, and we have so many questions in our minds, and the more you read, the more we are talking, the more questions we have. But looking at the program, there's hardly a chance to look into that. Might be the case even for the whole of the year. So it means that we remain a bit shallow, you know, with our information in this particular area. And yet that is the area, the strategies and the budget. That is the area we are here about. So I'm just appealing that in future, when we design the program, we give ourselves time for that. Thank you, Chucky.
Then approve or disapprove of whatever, but I think I agree with you that we need something like a day to look at the strategy. For instance, there are concerns that the working of the Department of Tourism having to have regional people deployed to promote tourism may be a duplication of some sort, given the fact that South African tourism is already promoting these areas, and it could be something that could be worked together with SA Tourism, and rather than having SA Tourism doing the same job in a different way, and the National Department doing the same job in a different way. If you had the DG said that we were going to have on international tourism, we were going to be organized in the region, Scandinavia, that type of thing. And if you look at your annual report on SA Tourism, they've got people allocated to different countries as well, some of which are in Scandinavia, some of which are in the other regions that they've got. So now, isn't that a distinct a duplication of work, and therefore an inefficient use of funds? But we did not have enough time to examine that. So your point is taken, and I think we need to accept that we did not afford ourselves enough time to discuss this, and then we need to improve on that next time. Perhaps after reading it, we may even have to have a meeting with them later, either on a Monday or something, just to after reading, because if you read on your own slowly after their presentations, some other things come to light. And then you find that because it was only two and a half hours, you could not interrogate their reports that much. So I think that's a valid point. And also, if you look at these things of linkages between provinces, the national government and local government, municipality, district, province, and the national, four levels, the coordination, they came with a new proposal that we are going to have two regions out of the nine provinces. Is that going to assist in improving coordination between local government, the district, provincial, and national government? If so, how? these are the questions we're supposed to ask, but we did not have time to ask the questions, although we went beyond our time, even after our afternoon. Another good thing.
I concur, I agree with Mamunjove, and then the very same point that you just said, articulated. With regard to the program, I think we have to raise it with this and not allow it to escape us. That we must have that, and firstly, as you are currently doing with Mamunjove, interrogate what was presented by the department as a committee. So that we are now able to come up very strongly with the issues that are of a major concern. I will cite one example whereby on program two, they have also maintained that there are going to be there's an allocation of $8 million for consultants, which then becomes a worry because one has to be explained by the department as to why do we actually need consultants to begin to perform that particular responsibility. Now, I'm then saying, obviously, it's quite critical that we have that particular day being set aside added to the current program. And that's the specific day where we meet as a committee and then where we're going to meet now with the department to raise our concerns. Well before we make our recommendations to Parliament. Thank you, Chair.
Let us then look at the program, and then if we and express ourselves as to whether the program, given its weaknesses, is good enough to be passed. But my request on the program, that is particularly on page 3, where we visit the provinces and oversight, I think we've got to write to the cabinet and then also write another letter to the chairperson inviting members of their committees in the provinces so that even if they cannot come, they know that they have been invited. Because what happens now, if we do not invite them, they think that now we've come to oversee them as well. Whereas we have to complement each other. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So that point, I think we need to manage that area as well. I think it is important to copy a letter to the MEC, to the chairperson. But I think also the chairpersons and committees deserve their own letters as our people. You get my point. Otherwise, now we get this hostile, sort of hostile reception, and things make difficult for us unnecessarily.
We will continue as the support staff to do the way really we have been asked by the committee to do. Previously, Chair, what we normally do when the committee is going to undertake a provincial oversight, the key contact people that we write to first is the Premier of the province, the Speaker of the Legislature, the MEC affected in that province, and the affected municipality or municipalities. I'm not quite sure what happened sometimes where you find that there's a disjuncture. You send a letter to the Speaker of the Legislature, but the request doesn't go through up to the portfolio committee in the province. So in the past there has been that disjuncture. But in any way we will try and improve, Chair, and write also directly why the letter has been sent to the Speaker, but it will also have to be sent to the chairperson of the portfolio committee on tourism in that particular legislature as well. So that there could be that
I think there has to be a letter to the chairperson. Yeah, I do agree. From the chairperson to the other chairperson, even though theoretically it should be through the speaker, but also for purposes of courtesy, and then invite them to undertake oversight together with us. We know that most of the time they are not going to be there, they are doing their own jobs. But if they are invited, at least we are allowed that space and that atmosphere to work freely and to together. If you notice in the Northwest, particularly, at some stage you are seeing hostility. In different ways. Say if you purchase from, for instance, you, and then in Madiwe, there were problems as well with the streets and so on. So you see that, I mean, even the way you are received, there's no formality, they just talk to you anyhow, until in Gauteng, we said, no, there has to be protocol. We can't operate without protocol. Because when we arrive, they said, let's go to the township. So now you see those things are unbecoming. But having said that, let us also look at ourselves and say, are we decent and courteous enough to them as well? And then after doing that, then we can be in the position to say, these people are doing this and the other. But let us look at from our side as well. Thank you, Jerry. Okay, it was a draft program. Now we have passed it, is our program. Then the next one will be the budget vote report. Okay, just before you, Honorable Shah. I think it's important to read the whole report, but what is even more important is our recommendations. So, having said that, we've got to know what is in the recommendations before we pass our report. Make sure that we know what is in our recommendations. All right, Mr. Shah.
Chair, thank you, I think my colleague and I were discussing this, and we'd like to thank the researcher who did this, but I think you did a good job. There are just some problems on page 14, 15, 16, which actually deals with our identification of issues, as well as you said, Chairperson, recommendations. And these are not major issues, they are just issues of language and spelling and grammatical issues. If you look at page 14, item number 5, key issues for the committee. You got that page, Chair?
Yes.
The committee welcomed the proposed budget allocations and medium-term strategic framework as presented. The agreed to make follow with the department. I think what we're trying to say is that the committee agreed to make a follow-up with the department. Am I right? Okay. Then on page 15, item 6.3. Government to facilitate market access. Now these recommendations, we should be saying something like that the government ought to or should to, or it is in our esteemed opinion or whatever, that the government should or ought to facilitate market access. We can't start that with just government to do this or that, right? I know it sounds very silly, but I think linguistically it should be ordered. Under local government, Chair, 6.4, same page. The local sphere of government is an important contributor to the success of tourism activities in terms of community-driven tourism philosophy. The efforts should be coordinated within the provincial tourism growth. The efforts leaves things very, I don't know, it's like vague. What are we trying to say? The efforts of which department? Local government? Who? What efforts are we talking about? should be coordinated within the provincial tourism growth strategy. I think we need to clarify that a little bit more. Page 16, item 7 under appreciation. The committee would like to extend special appreciation. I think the word appreciation itself, double P, just correct that one. The committee would like to extend special appreciation to the ministry, the director general program. I think the word should be managers, am I right? Just the A missing there. And heads of entities for providing support. So there's this little things that we can just put right very quickly. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
I find that some of the points you have raised, I also put them down here. But I was wondering if we shouldn't, what should be our approach in looking at the report? Should we go from page to page, or should we just come up with whatever we have found?
I think it should be from page to page. It makes our job easier. Okay, no, I think that is agreed. No, we'll move quickly. As quick as the slowest member. Researcher.
My apologies, Chair. I don't know, because in the program you were raising issues that still need to be looked into in terms of the budget itself, whether it will be okay for us to finalize the report and then come back to them later on, like the issues that you were raising in terms of international tourism and issues of domestic tourism and how the regions are, they are.
because although we are supposed to use information from the Tourism Business Council of South Africa, we've got to use that information with care, because they are an interested party. They are likely to exaggerate their performance, and then in order to claim for more support or something like that. So I'm saying that sometimes you've got to get this information from more than one source. That is the first thing. The second thing, how many jobs did we create? Because you remember that we say that priority is an accelerated and sustainable economic growth with jobs and sustainable livelihoods, which means small businesses, micro businesses, and so forth. People are selling baskets, they are selling this, that, and the other. So, is it not important for us to have the exact sort of figures or estimates? I mean, how many? If a person says, how many jobs did tourism create last year, and what is that percentage? What did that contribute to the South African economy in terms of percentage? That type of thing. Are the figures agreeable with our research as well? Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think what we're looking at currently is the jobs that are created by the department itself. What has not been done is a survey to look at the jobs that are created extensively by the industry as a whole. Because what we're looking at here is jobs that are created by the expanded public works program, and though that is due to the annual report, it's not the whole report, because we're still going to get the annual report for 2011 only by September. So that is up to the 31st of August when they present it to us, and nothing has changed from then. But the number of projects that were rolled out in terms of the EPWP program superseded the target of projects. So I don't know if, because the number of projects is 65 as compared to the 45 that was targeted, if those 65 projects will be able to produce the jobs that are required by the EPWP, because that target was 5,000, and at the current juncture they were short of 700 and something jobs, full-time equivalent jobs. So what is not reflected is whether by the end of the term, which ended in February, they have already succeeded in meeting their targets. But they did not say anything to that account during the strategic and the budget presentation last week. So they did not speak on how many jobs in the totality that they produced.
And then sustainable levels, did they mention how many? They did not mention anything about
On the SMEs, they didn't mention, but they mentioned in the first annual report, of which they did not update anything to that accord as well. But they had, they were a bit behind in meeting their targets in terms of supporting of SMEs, because they had set a target for 3,151, of which they had only supported 1,122, which was less than 50% at that time, because it was by annual presentation. So at that point in time, they were below 50% of their performance, because if you're looking at the four quarters, half the year, they should have at least been about 50%. And at the same time, they had the target which was set at 20 for black SMEs to be supported. However, in the strategic plan, that had been changed into 20 targeted, and only 2 had been identified and supported. So it was, they were a bit far into the supporting of SMEs.
They were fine?
No, they were far.
Far from
the targets.
Far from the targets.
Yeah.
So these are the things that you need to for oversight.
departments, you know, doing their part of the job. So we don't, you know, all these things that we're talking about will never be reached.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of that SME programs, I understand, are linked to DTI type and things.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, and I asked a question of that, and I was disgusted to see, in fact, how many people had been given, you know, and it was raised by the, in the committee by various agencies, and never then completed or got the, to the point where they actually got the money because they didn't qualify or meet criteria. And others that did get there are no longer existent because there was no follow-up or support mechanism. So I think in our recommendations we need to highlight those issues with the importance of that. And I'd like to stress the need for us to have oversight over those memorandums of understanding.
Yeah.
For instance, if there's something between tourism and home affairs,
yeah,
we need to now know that that is the situation. So when they come to see us in the program later on, we can ask them, are you confident that you'll get there, or are you getting there? Show us what you're doing about it. So that would be another reason that I think we need to include as a recommendation. And then just on the statistical issue, I think there's a big gap here. You know, we're sucking thumbs, and you know, we can talk about for every 16 tourists coming, we get one job. And we got the EPCs, which we can accurately depict. But really, at the end of the day, there's got to be also some sort of a fix. And I think it was discussed in one of the committee reports that if someone comes into the country, we need to just say to them quickly, are you coming here for a holiday, to a conference, to a business? You know, so we get that sort of type of idea as to where we actually focus our strategies.
Yeah.
And that is the most key thing that can happen. I mean, I've just come back from Australia, and you know, the first thing they ask you is just a simple tick box as you come into the country. Are you here to visit family, friends, visit, holiday, business, convention, whatever? And just by ticking that box, everybody at the interface of every airport and everything has a fix, and they can add it up to the end of the year and say, so many visitors can, 90% were for business conference. So that is something that I think is lacking, and we need to put that as a recommendation forward as to how they're going to do that. So R&D and surveys and studies, statistics-wise, is the most key thing to be able to ask the sit here as oversighters and say, well, yeah, okay, now we know where we're going, how we can focus, etc. So that was my proposal in when we come to finalise in this report, that we add some of that stuff in. Okay, that was research, development and surveys, MOUs, and then your duplication on those regional sort of offices, whether they're not just making very short money, you know, duplicating.
Let us make that a recommendation and
make
a recommendation around that one. Mr. Shah and Mama.
Chair, just to take off from where my colleague raised issues, very pertinent issues. I think what we also need to say is that we have SONA, we have the National Development Plan, we have all these goals. There has to be complete alignment at every level of government in this department, whether it's a provincial level, a regional level, national level, because any break in that chain actually puts damper to all these strategic plans and the budgets and everything. So there has to be total alignment with vision at every level sphere of government. And I think somebody raised this earlier. I also in my country come to the conclusion that at times the municipality or the department in the municipality relevant municipalities have no clue with the bigger vision. There are infrastructure very critical for tourism in those areas which are just neglected or nobody knows about them. People just go and spend, go and sit in those sites and abuse those spaces. They are in disrepair. The facilities are poor. So I think complete alignment, we need to push for that. And just one for the research on page 2, sir. On page 2, 1, 2, 3, I think it's the fourth paragraph. It's just a matter of clarification and elaboration. It reads, outbound tourism in many countries in Europe has stagnated. South Africa was stable in Europe, but there was no spectacular growth. Now that doesn't, what we're trying to say is South Africa was stable in Europe as a destination or something. But we can't say South Africa was stable in Europe. It doesn't explain much. Then in the last paragraph on the page, second line, there was business from hotels, tourists. Let's read from the beginning of the paragraph. The value which Africa brought to the country's economy went beyond tourism. There was business from hotels, tourist attractions, but also from manufacturing and downstream industries. I think what we're trying to say is the benefit that we derived, or the value that we got from tourists of coming in from Africa. I think we say there was business from hotels. What are we saying? Is it that we business for the hospitality industry in South Africa was, depends. The hospitality industry in South Africa benefits from this tourist that came in from Africa. That's what we're trying to say, that we need to say that. Because we did say there was business from hotels. For the hotels, there was business for local hotels, for the hospitality industry, and our tourist sector. I think we need to spell that out. Nothing big, nothing major, but I think it's important we know that. Thanks. Thank you, Chen.
Thanks.
Thanks, Chen. I think I would, just as a matter of information, on the issue of the SMMEs, the SMMEs that are counted here, there are jobs that should be done by the department without any assistance from other external players, which is the job of Tourism Enterprise Partnership and another program in the department itself. So those targets they have to meet because they're not influenced by other external factors. So it's money that is in the department that is given to SMMEs and that they need to support. But the thing that is lacking is the issue of the identification of those SMEs that need to be supported. And I think the department is not doing much in ensuring that they find SMEs to support and promote. And the issues of the surveys, the one that Honorable was speaking about, South African tourism used to do that. And they used to have quarterly reports of that. But I haven't seen it in the past 2 years. It is not there anymore. And I don't know why it was dropped off whatsoever, but I think it'll be interesting for us to find out from them why did they drop it also, because they used to have quarterly reports of how many visitors came and for what purpose. And on the issue of the outbound tourism and that was the minister's overview. So I think it is put there as it was. That is just what the minister said. So thank you.
Yeah, on the issue of this quarterly report, I think we need to write a letter to them. And email, send an email to them and then check. What happened to the quarterly report? And then find out and then get a response from them. I think that will suffice. Then page 2, we are finished with page 2. Then page 3.
That should carry forward the fact that that airlift strategy has expired, you know, as part of the recommendations for us as a committee to look at.
Chair, in this report, I don't know if the department, I unfortunately had to apologize. I wasn't at the meeting. But if I were there, I would have wanted to know, and maybe this is what we can also put into a recommendation, have they done an assessment as to what our actual needs are in the hospitality industry in terms of skills? And have they done a study? And what are our actual needs? What are we managing to, for example, we talk about chefs, they talk about all these other skilled people. What have we set aside for that? What have we achieved? They say that they only refer to chefs, but that's not all. There's a lot of other skills that are required. What has government done? What has private sector done? Do we have any statistics? Where do we stand? What are actual shortages of skills we really need to know? Because it doesn't spell it out yet.
The recommendations was also made last year from the committee to say that there's a need to do a skills audit in order to ascertain what are the skills that are needed by the industry, so that we don't put money into skills that are already saturated in the industry, only to find out that people are not employed after doing whatever. So that was a recommendation that was made last year, and there was no response to that regard. In all the documents that I've seen, I have not seen the skills audit that has been done to ascertain what are the needed skills in the industry.
I think, yeah, that is very, very important as well, because you need capacity in the industry in order to grow. And I think we've got to put under recommendations that the committee
we can tell them is, look, you have a vision, you have given a strategic plan, you have a dedicated budget. Once you start implementing your budget, there are going to be demands for skills. Have you planned for that? And therefore, we need to know what, have you done an audit? Because you're spending money, obviously, then you're creating space for people. Can that space be filled?
So let us then put it as a recommendation that we need this skills audit analysis because we are concerned that with the expansion we may discover that we are not having the required skills to perform the mandate that we have created.
Thank you.
Looking into the performing of our committee, the research I read in something here that also relates to the skills audit, which was also captured in the last year's recommendation by the committee. Now, if we were then to look into the recommendations that were made by the committee last year, how much of those were met by the department? Because it then demands of us to look into those recommendations to then say when we are tabling our report to Parliament, to then say, based on the recommendations that were made last year, these were met. Now, the other area that has become an indictment on ourselves, once we have made the recommendations, Chairperson, I would propose that we follow up on those recommendations well before the end of the next financial year, whereby we meet with the department and look into those recommendations and ask them as to how far they have gone regarding that, rather than to find ourselves engaging on their annual report at the end. But if we had the committee made such, and my focus on Chairperson, that on basis of the recommendations we're going to make, mid-year, we call upon them so that we can then begin to evaluate and ask them as to how far have they gone in implementing the recommendations that were made by Parliament, no more than by the committee, because such recommendations are adopted by Parliament. So that would be my proposal.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Green. You're welcome, Mama Kasi. we got your apology. The proposal as it stands demands for us to have a meeting with the committee later in the year. Could be third or fourth quarter where we interrogate this. I do not know how you diarise hearing, but perhaps let us put it as an item, one of the items that will be at a future meeting. Say third, fourth quarter after a few quarters. And so that we do not miss it. Then we go to page 6.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, Chief, can I take you back to page 5?
Yes.
On page 5, I think I'd like to draw your attention to the second last paragraph, the most worrying factor. If you got that in your view, the most worrying factor is that the department's strategic plan in some instances is characterized by key performance indicators which are not necessarily within the department's power to deliver, but is dependent on a third party. And that's a very strong statement, so we need to clarify that and spell it out. Don't leave it vague, because this is a report from a committee to parliament. We need to actually tell them exactly what we mean by third party. Are we referring to relevant government departments, stakeholders, or parties? Yeah. If we say a third party, we've got a problem with that. We need to say which party. Are we talking about how many are they and who are they? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much for that input, because if you say it's a key performance indicator, for it to be key, you've got to be clear why and which is important. Mr. Farrell?
That should link up with what I reiterated with the memorandum of understanding.
Oh, okay. With Home Affairs. Yes. Because also, I think the issue of economic development, Department of Economic Development, plays a role here. Rural development plays a role here. But they have targets we don't know. Mom job.
I'm on page 6, Chairperson. I agree with what has been mentioned here about the third parties.
Okay, before we go to page 6, let us go to Mom Dolly.
As you can see, it's key performance indicators. So those are the things that are set out by the department that they're going to do. Like, for example, last year, on the international relations thing, they said they were going to sign 4 agreements with other stakeholders in other countries. But then when they came for the report, they said that they had done their job in terms of signing the agreements, but it was up to the other countries whether they put a signature on those as well. So they had said that they set a target themselves for 4, but what have they done to ensure that other parties come on board in terms of signing the agreements? Because my understanding is if you're having an agreement that you're drafting out and you're saying your target is 4, you must put necessary measures to ensure that those targets are met, irrespective of whether the other party signs or not. So you should actually be in a position to make sure that you meet that target. So it was basically on issues of international agreements that they set out for themselves.
Yes.
Thank you.
So we've got to know targets that have been met and targets that have not been met. And to those targets that have not been met, we've got to understand why. That is the proposal. Mom Jovan.
Yes. Maybe it happens to us to add this. Shouldn't we put that under the concerns, the key issues that the committee is concerned about?
This question that has just been raised now. Yes, we put it under recommendation.
Key issues.
Okay, yes, we can have it under key issues. Thanks, Mr. Good morning, Ms. Lizoma.
Good morning, Mr.
Right, we are on page 6 now on the draft budget vote. Moment of it.
No, I wasn't going to talk about the budget vote and see the figures there. But I wanted to talk about the programs, the technical point I want to do. The naming of the programs, I think I'm getting a bit confused. On page 6, we speak of programs to being now known as the international tourism. But now, when you get to page 8.
Program 3. Program 3, that is known as international tourism.
Are you correcting me?
Yes, you said it's program 2.
That's what the document is showing. It says program 2, formerly known as tourism development, is now known as international tourism.
Yes.
Isn't
it? Change.
Yeah, the point I wanted to raise is that if I look at page 8, I find that the actual program 2 is not international tourism or international tourism. It is policy and knowledge services. And I think if you read on, you also find that what you call program 3 now, formerly known as tourism growth and is currently known as domestic tourism. But when you look at page 9, program 4 is domestic tourism. And so on and so forth, even program 4. I don't know.
Let our researcher to respond.
Thank you, Chair. The confusion is because it's not what the program that I get. The program that I get, program 2, which was tourism development, has been changed to be named something else, but it's not about program 2, but it's program 3. So there is a clarification of what program 2 changed to. Which what was program 2 in last year's strategic plan. So this is just an indication of how the programs changed into different names, but that does not mean that the international tourism is program 2. It means that what was program 2, which was tourism development, was incorporated elements of what international tourism stands for. So it was international tourism fell under program 2, in the previous financial year. But program 2 now has now changed into international tourism, but according to the programs itself, program 1 is administration, program 2 is policy research, which was program 4 last year. So it's the arrangement of the programs, but they in these programs here, I was highlighting the main changes in terms of what program 2 changed into. But not to say that program 2 is international tourism.
Maybe even that formerly known as tourism development is now known as international tourism, now designated as program tourism.
Okay.
I think for the first reason it is written.
All right.
Otherwise, we waste a lot of time trying to find out what is happening here.
Okay. No, we can add that. Thank you very much.
Okay, let us correct that at page 8. Are we fine with page 6?
Mm-hmm.
8.1% increase, which in real terms is 2.07.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question becomes, we have said that tourism in the new growth path should be one of the priority programs of the government, and yet we allocate 2.07. So we are saving, yes, but at the same time we've got priorities. It's conflicting with these things both. Let us just note that and then for purposes of debate.
The challenge here for Treasury was the fact that the department did not perform well in the previous year. in terms of the expanded public works program.
Mm-hmm.
So they were in no position to give them a much higher budget because of their previous performance. So that was the challenge there in terms of increasing the budget of the department, its performance, and also the fact that the SA Tourism itself had issues of concern with respect to the financial, their audit report, which was later changed apparently. So that was the predicament in terms of increasing the budget of tourism. Although the committee recommendation was taken into consideration to say there was a need to increase the budget of tourism.
So, 9.7. To the research department, this are we having the fourth quarterly report and the first quarterly report, because at least we'll be up to date with some of the information.
Chair, unfortunately we don't have. The department is supposed to report on their fourth quarter report when they come with the strategic plan and the budget, because that would give us insight into us passing on the budget to say that they have met their target.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, I think the committee had agreed that they would do by annual reports, but the department did not come forth with this final by annual report, which they had finalized by February. So I don't know whether the department is still going to do the by annual report, but they were supposed to bring it with their strategic plan when they came. Thank you.
Okay, if they can research, they be in a position to get that information and circulate it before the debate, please.
Mm-hmm.
So that for us to be up to date with our debate.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Bengu.
What was that, Chairperson? It seems that they faltered. It must also be encapsulated and contained in our key concerns, because they should have done this, as the researcher said, when they were tabling, so that we are able now, because we are going to debate only next week on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And it totally puts us off. It's just like for me to simply say, I'm not going to look into it. Say to say that they did not present it on the date when the committee says they must present it before the committee. So if it misses the deadline, it's just like they not have tabled the report. So that's why I'm then proposing that it must also get into our concerns.
No, I think if you don't submit in time, you keep reasons, because sometimes there are objective reasons that make you not to submit on time. But now if you just remain quiet, then that's what creates problems. I'm joking.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think I want to add to that. Maybe it's us, we are not making the department accountable enough. Maybe we are too soft with the department, as opposed, because they've always had, you know, unqualified reports and so on and so forth. But I think to some extent we are letting them get away with it. So I'm trying to strengthen the demand for the various reports that they are supposed to come and present to the committee. I mean, in other committees, we are receiving them, you know, all the time. In fact, I think my committee right now is looking at the quarterly report, and the other committee I attend.
I think the weakness comes from the acknowledgement that we were supposed to have a full day on when they were presenting this thing. And we just had 2.5 hours. It was just not enough. We are discovering a lot of problems now here. After reading these things and all these papers I knew, we are realizing that there are a lot of problems.
For instance, I would say we have a willing DG in tourism, but we hardly ever make him come here. If he comes once a year, it looks like this, that is enough. Once or twice a year in tourism. Yeah, I think we should let them come and tell us what they are doing.
Chairperson, just to support what Mama Njoba is saying, we are to, we're faced with a, you know, a very sensitive time next week, whereby we are to debate. And then, the way it is, one is a bit confused, really. Because you'll find yourself saying things which are not correct, making a fool out of yourself in front of the department or whatever. Maybe it is that, really, we are not, you know. I remember one day when I said, we hardly have the department around here, and the DG at times happens not to be there. He's overseas or whatever. And the results are what we're having in front of us now. I'm a bit disturbed because I'm one of the people that would have to debate on the whatever 3rd of May, which is tomorrow.
The 3rd of May, let's get it. Okay, page 7. And that way we can be in a position to make a call.
Yeah.
Well said, Chairperson. I think it's important, Chair, that we once again, not allow this issue of being blindfolded and hear that we don't have engineers. I don't want to believe that. It reminds me, Sean, with the Department of Defense, we do have engineers. You go to public works, and my own teachers that are within public works, that are engineers. Now to come up and then say we have to go and source outside because we don't have as the Department of Tourism. For me, it does not work well. Because if we're working particularly the expanded public works program, it's not done by public works.
Yeah.
They have the engineers. So why should we then go around and then say we're looking for engineers being the tourism? So we have to talk too, because we are working in tandem and cooperating with them. That is why I then propose, Chairperson, that with regard to what the Auditor General said, with regard to the expanded public works program, we have to have a meeting. We have to have that meeting with public works.
Mm-hmm.
To look into the expanded public works program and how do we relate and cooperate with them regarding our programs within tourism. Thank you.
Okay, no, thanks for the thing. Yeah, that response was given not by the Auditor General, Director General.
Sorry, Chair. Also, further clarification on the EPDA program. There is specifically done in the department, and the money comes to the department. What normally happens is if there's a project of, let's say, $3 million to build a guest house or to upgrade a tourist attraction area, like for instance the one that was done in Limpopo, they would then release an advert to get that thing built. And then what they say that they do is to source for engineers to come and do the evaluation of that particular building. It is not, public works is not involved at any stage there. So everything that is done by the department. But it is true what Mr. Ben is saying, because if you have an expanded public works program that runs, it runs all the time, it's not something that is ad hoc. It makes sense to hire engineers into the department that would be specifically stationed in the EPWP program for those purposes than to, at ad hoc basis, call engineers and consultants.
No. Do you want to say something?
She is raising something that is critically important. Public works program, the EPWP resides within public works. And every department also aligns with itself by coming up with an expanded public works program, but those programs are driven and are within public works. So now it becomes a great challenge. Look, we have the, as I indicated, the entities that are reporting to public works, like your engineering institution. They are there, Chairperson. So we cannot find ourselves to then say no. We've been allocated this amount. Yes, we need that allocation. But let's use the resources that are there within government by utilizing those entities that are within public works. We have women in construction. We have IDT. Why can't we then begin to allow tourism to do construction? If public works is there to do that. Well, why do we allow the issue that was within the paper regarding the issue of public works, particularly defense or SAPS, now contracting instead of public works contracting on properties. That's one thing that I'm becoming worried about right by now. We as tourism are going to become contractors. when there is. This is my little worry. Because it then says there must be some kind of synergy where we begin to talk to one another with the public works regarding this.
This is what the Commission of Policy is in problem about essentially.
Yeah, I think that this discussion is very, very interesting, and I think it makes it even more imperative that we need a public works department. So some of the questions that we have had for a long time, can they be answered? I think it's good that we have a person like him, Honorable Sengo, among us here who knows the ins and outs of public works. Because I have a question in mind, but it's not really for this committee, which comes out and I say to myself, if then the department transfer funds to public works for the CPWP, for example, then who must take a report on that? Is it public works or is it still the department? Why is it that it is still the department that must report on how it has used those funds and not public works? I'm not saying answer that question, but I'm saying to me, it raises a question and therefore, let's take the proposal that we meet public works very seriously. And the sooner we meet them, the better.
Okay, I think we can share that and then derive it and then make it one of the items, say, for quarter three or quarter four. Because as things arise, then some meetings then become necessary. Let us stop here, take our tea, and come back in 5 minutes. It looks like this report is becoming much longer than we expected.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you are doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You know, but I don't think it's That's a good job.
Yeah, please.
Thanks, Chair. I'm just wondering if the question, because it's a very tricky one. It's a question that I've also raised to the department and also to Treasury, because they're the ones that pass the budget. So for them to pass the budget, they have to look at those discrepancies as well. But when I raised it to Treasury as well, they did not come forth really with much information. Only to say that they received the budget of the department after the restructuring, but because it was already late to pass the budget, they didn't extensively look at the overlapping and the different discrepancies that could have arisen from the overlap. And I'm just not sure if it's purposefully that they put South African tourism under policy and knowledge services, whereas according to my understanding, if we have international tourism, it should have fallen under international tourism because it's marketing of international tourism, you know, and domestic tourism. So it does look like a serious overlap. From the research point of view, it looks like there's a serious overlap unless the department can explain it otherwise, but it's very tricky.
Page 10.
then you're going to compare the objectives of international tourism, international tourism, together with the objectives of ethnic tourism. And this budgetary report also provides a lot of questions to the minister over the year. And there are so many things that can be asked to the minister. Ms. Tony?
Thank you, Chair. As you can see from what I explained earlier on the, I think it was on page 10, the sub-program for social responsibility implementation, there's a drop of 13.5% from the budget, and the other drop that is indicated is only on the administration program, whereby there was a drop of 0.95%, and that is also due to the fact that in the previous year there was an issue of offices and space that they were procuring. And this year that had dropped because the building had already been procured and all those kind of things. So that's why there is no significant growth in terms of the budget that has been allocated for tourism.
Sorry to take you back on something that's not even here right now. In our question, recommendations, and the way to put it, we'll have to figure it out. What we haven't asked when I was in the meeting is we want to know how did the Department of Tourism benefit in real terms from the World Cup, and how have they capitalized on infrastructure and programs that implemented during that time? Have they built on it? Have they exploited it? Are they extending some of those benefits? What have they done? Or is it? It happened that it was over. We need to know in which way have they capitalized. Have they, and what exactly how did they capitalize, and are we falling back now? Have we lost some of that advantages that we had during the phase, and why are we using it, if it is so? That sense of understanding the picture we have not yet got. Anyway, yes.
Okay. No, thank you. And then the jobs, they say that they are committed to creating 2,000 to 5,000 jobs by 2020, 177,000 jobs in the tourism sector and 48,000 through direct government investment. And but they are not mentioning, they have not mentioned anywhere from what figure we are moving. Right, then page 11 is go on, then page 12. Page 12. Hello, Mom Jovet.
Just a small point. I'm half asleep when you're on page 11. It's also a technical problem, a technical mistake, I think.
You
GDP I think you are putting it in.
And
it keeps occurring.
Yeah.
So I would ask
to GDP, gross domestic product.
That's not the only one. There are others somewhere else in the paper.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Even in page 12, TGP. Yeah, she was used to marking the cream paper. It's just the how they classify the market classification is 4.2, and then the now here we are now the this classification is not in line with the department's grouping of regions. You get now how we. You have organizations working together, but classifying the target markets differently. Are they going to be likely to be more effective or not? You see, these are the real issues.
Chair, 4.3, importance of Africa to meet NTS's targets. See, I'm new to the committee, so I'm not sure whether we have this information, but it says that Africa delivers the highest number of tourist arrivals. Okay? Africa delivers more than 70% of all arrivals every year. Now, I think what is crucial for us to know, or the department to know, is how many of them are actually economic migrants, how many of them are coming for medical facilities, how many of them are here as tourists, purely as tourists. Because some of them could be just refugees, some of them are just coming in and they just stay here, they're not really tourists in the real sense. So, stamp the passport at the immigration post, they entered, so they came from Africa. But what exactly did they come to do here? Do we know that? Are they tourists? So we can't use that. That 70% could include maybe 25-30% of them just came to buy stuff from here and go and sell it back across the border. So, yes, the economy did benefit because we did some business at the border post, but how does that affect tourism?
Yeah, well, the ones who come and buy here in South Africa, say from Mozambique or from Swaziland and so forth, are called the retail tourists. They are tourists in a sense, although they do not spend on tourism establishments. But they find, but we need to know who is whom. And then in last week's meetings, we proposed what Mr. Farrow said earlier in the day, that they got to know what type of tourists we are getting from where by actually having forms as part of knowledge and research services of the department via that program. And then Mr. Tarache agreed to that. Who is the DPG of that program? Then page 12, page 13.
Yeah.
Right. And then in this report, do you see this council on giving authority?
Conventional,
yes. Where it doesn't appear, or did you see it anyway?
No.
Because when after reading the report, I asked myself, did I read about this? If so, because it was launched last year, they should be reporting what it is doing and where exactly it is.
It is under
South African tourism. Yes.
I think the other thing that doesn't seem to appear on the recommendations, I don't know how members want to put it, but it's the issue of transformation of the tourism industry.
Yes, and yet it is a big concern.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to bring to the attention, Joy. You see, if you go to page the issue of this point 5 on page 14, key issues for the committee. I think what's happening here is, what we should say here is key concerns of the committee, first. Now, when we have a concern, it's clear, we spell it out. This is our concern. Under recommendations, then we will make the relevant recommendations. But I see what has happened is we said key issues for the committee. We raise the challenge and request concern, and we make the recommendation also in the same statement. And then we go on a separate section and make recommendations not in line with the concern we have raised today. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think item 5 should be key concerns of the committee. What are our concerns? Very clear. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then when we make recommendations on the other side, it's speaking to those concerns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's very clear. There's no ambiguity. There's nothing blurred.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But what is happening here is we said key issues for the committee, for example, it says 5.1, read 5.1. This is a concern. Rural tourism development remains a challenge, right? But at the same time, in the same voice, we are saying Parliament should prioritize overseeing the infrastructure, blah, 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 blah. Now, I think what this should do is we should spell out what are the concerns of the committee in a separate item, and then these are our recommendations to address those concerns. Thank you.
Okay. In fact, I think what you are saying, I agree with what you are saying, but I still maintain that there should be key issues. Key issues meaning whether the department creates jobs, the key objectives, the issues come from the State of the Nation address. They come from the estimated national expenditure and the objectives of government. If you get my point, there may not be concerns, but issues, the real issues, so that when we do our oversight, it's not in a forest without trees. We identify the forest trees. Job creation, number of businesses created is an issue. Whether it is a concern, or it is encouraging, but it's an issue. Tourism growth is an issue. So those things we can say. But some issues then become concerns. So then concerns have to be there. Page 14 now. We corrected that the committee to make follow, that is the 10th paragraph, to make a follow up, is follow up, right? Page 14, then page 15. To obtain details with regards to 12 million rands to be spent on consultants for the support of departments internal audit unit, the 3.9 to be used on advisory services, and 8.6 million rands to be used on development of a visitor information center and national tourism information gateway space planning throughout the MPTF3 period. If you, a few pages ago, there was also 5 million rand for consultants with regard to MTT, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let us add that. Yes. And then this totals.
Yeah.
So if you add up, it adds up to
41 million.
It adds up to 41 million.
Yeah.
So then recommendations. You see the issue of the METF and advisory, we have a chief financial officer. We have PDGs. They should be having the capacity to do that, to do what the METF system, for what we are paying 5 million for 5 million rands for. I mean, are we employing people who are not qualified?
That's exactly what the problem is.
Because your PDGs for their programs in the METF, the one of international relations is going to make his contribution, his or her contribution. The one on domestic tourism is going to make her contribution, and so forth. So you understand, and then together with the CFO, they make the addition. So what's so special about METF? The capacity is there in the department. But they've got to explain. Yeah, engineers perhaps could be another story, but METF is not another story.
It's a total of 29.5 or 29.6 in total. If you add up all the consultant fees that have been identified in this report, that's not
42. 29.6.
That's important we get that right, because that's what's been identified.
If that sum is wrong, it weakens your case too.
Okay, it's the 12 plus the 3.9 plus 8.6 plus 5 million, which runs up to
29.6
million.
That's the 12. Okay. Well, I have to raise another question on that.
You add the 12 million twice. Twice, yeah. I add the first one and the last one.
All right, can I just then talk about 5.7, which is that one issue relating to the aviation sector?
Yes.
I think importantly we should mention the landing fees increases from ACSA, which were reportedly wanting to go up by 161%, and that the people are landing in Mozambique now and getting coaches to come and visit. that is a very important thing, which is also part of the MOUs that need to be struck to make sure that we don't kill tourism by just putting this thing out of the reach of airlines and the associates. So that's a very important issue.
You see, I don't know, I've never belonged to transport. But in other countries I see when you leave you contribute something like Zimbabwe, you pay $10 or $20 American and so forth. I think rather than paying for the airports in this way, making this thing very expensive for aircraft, we may have to relook at that. But who is also a member of transport team?
Formerly,
and now.
That's what
I'm about. No, but if you belong to complementary committees in the thing. Just declare your commitment. so that we know. And then we can send you to a committee and write to the committee requesting this, and then we depend on you on the other side to assist. Right, on the page 15, we are okay. 6.4, we corrected that. The F1 should it is corrected then. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, before we get to 15, that last that one line on page 14, Siri's point about the information, I think the sentence itself was corrected. I think including, this is a small letter, but that's not my main point. Including is difficult in obtaining information, especially the statistics on the number of jobs created, and the effectiveness or impact of the EPWP project run by government on behalf of the community. Are you correct that the government runs the EPWP on behalf of the community? This is not for the community. But even then, another point is that I was questioning in my mind is
the other thing that makes an indication of how far the department is going in terms of transformation should be their support for SMEs, of which I already highlighted before that they're lagging behind in terms of support for small businesses which are getting into the industry, which would facilitate transformation of the industry. And secondly, last year they were supposed to give us a report on transformation, which they finished in March, but we couldn't get it even last year. I don't know if now we can get it, but I'll try and request for it again, because there was a survey that was done, remember, Chair, on the transformation of the industry as a whole. So that report did not come to us. I requested for it last year. I requested for it on Tuesday as well, to say that they should send it to us, because we still don't have the report, and the report is not there on their website. So if we get that report, we'll get an indication of how far the industry is transforming. And the other thing that I want
to... Okay, just on transformation, because it's an important issue. Let us just ask for that information and then say please come out before debate, so that we know what exactly is happening. It's an important area as well.
Okay,
thank you.
And on the point that was raised by Honorable Manjobe on page 14, it says, including the difficulties in obtaining information specifically, that is the last paragraph, the statistics on the number of jobs created and effectiveness or the impact of the EPWP project run by government on the communities. So it's the impact on the communities, not on behalf of the communities.
On the communities, okay.
Yeah.
But we've got to know, perhaps for the last 3 years, what's the progress?
Mm-hmm.
How many this year, last year, how many the other year, the year before? So that we know of the trends, and we keep tab on the trends. Then page 16.
Just to remind you again, on item 7, which is a concluding statement, appreciation, the headline, APP, and second line, program managers. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a question of principle via sentences. The Director General, point 7 also. The Director General, Program Manager, okay, you can see the pattern of the spelling, and Head of Entity for providing support throughout the last financial year. Providing support to whom? To us, the committee? No. In my opinion, it's us who provide support to them. And I think they've thanked us for that. But I'm not sure if we should be thanking them for providing support to us. Or am I interpreting it wrongly?
I think I get your point.
So can you find some other formulation? Is it that great?
Yes.
Well, it could be cooperation.
Thank you for the cooperation.
That was for input.
I think when we say these things, we must be very careful. I agree fully with what Mama is saying, right? Because if we say that they've been providing support throughout the last financial year, it becomes very difficult for us then later to be critical and say so-and-so didn't do the job, so-and-so didn't do the job, because we have already acknowledged. So you already told us that we are doing a fantastic job. Now why are you questioning our performance? So we should just simply say a courtesy thank you, that's all. Leave it at that. Leave it open in that enough room to maneuver.
I think
it's nice to be opposition.
Well,
I think that what we're trying to show here is that we've got good working relationships with them. So I'm just appealing for another formulation to express that. But not to say they are providing support for us.
That's the word.
Thank you
for the
cooperation.
Yeah, we don't expect support.
Thanks, I'm not sure on 6.1.2, it's just of the payment period. This was for the
other financial year. So I don't know if it still fits in here because we have not been given the biannual report to see whether they've improved on that or not. Because here it says that the payments are still not adhered to. So I'm not sure if that suffices for this budget report because we don't have the full report of the previous year. Because this was for the 2010-2011 financial year. It was for that other year. It was not for the 2011-2012 financial year.
The issue
of payment period. The 30-day issue. It was not adhered to in the 2010-2011 financial year.
But the same is now.
Yes, because we don't have the annual report. So for us to say that it is still not adhered to might also be a misrepresentation. Yes.
But I'll put in the mask.
Can I also raise the point that just recently before we called Department and Agency to come and address the committee, what we did, we called some key industry members to come and appear before the committee so that they can give us some briefing so that we can get some feel. This issue came out, I think, with the tourism business council of South Africa. And they went to the extent of saying somebody was owned about 1 million or 2 million that has been outstanding for 2 years. This committee was shocked to hear that thing. So I'm not sure whether now we don't want to tie department to those kind of discrepancies or what. Or if committee wants it, then we can delete that.
No, I think if that is the case, let us make a clear reference where it comes from. And according to so such and such as this thing, this has happened, and therefore we recommend this. I don't know. Fedasa, was it Fedasa or whatever? There was one.
Okay, let me. I just want to clarify that. That was not payment that was supposed to come from the Department of Tourism. It was payment from other government departments. So if we tie it to the Department of Tourism, it's a misrepresentation of the department itself.
Yeah.
Yes. It was saying that industry players were not being paid by other government departments. Maybe what we can raise is to say, through the memorandum of understanding, what is the department doing to ensure that industry players in the tourism sector are paid on time?
Yes.
But it was not the department itself that was not paying the suppliers.
Chair, I think we must not leave this out totally. What we can do is say it in a way that we don't have to put a foot in the mouth. What we do is make reference to historical issue. Historically, this was the case. However, we would like the situation to be remedied to ensure that the role players in the market are actually paid timely. So we say that, yes, we know this has been happening. So we're not saying to you that it hasn't happened yet. We want to know, have you remedied the situation? We would not like to see a repeat of that performance again. You know, something like that. Historically, it has been found, blah, 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 and we would recommend that payments be made timely. Within the specified period, something like that.
Yeah, no. As a chairperson of the committee, I'd be interested in accurate information, so that when we attack them, they don't say we attack them unjustly. We attack them because there are so many areas we can attack them. But if you leave one unjust this thing, then it taints our position, Mr. Farrow.
Yeah, I think to just sum up and to rather ourselves, as my colleague said, with a foot in the mouth, let us just refer to the fact that there was a transformation committee called KICSA. There's a special body that has not reported to this thing and this raised that as a key issue, because it was their job, effectively, as I understand it, to be able to go and to determine what that was in the industry. We had a report from, I think it was FIDAS at the time, that that transformation body has expired and it hasn't even been resurrected or the members to that board reappointed.
Yeah.
Now that's an indictment on the department as far as I'm concerned, and I think that is what the key issue is about.
Yeah.
How do we actually measure whether in fact this department is doing what it's meant to do in terms of transformation when the body that's been put there and is responsible for it doesn't exist anymore?
Yeah.
That is the issue. How?
Okay, no, I remember now. The body for transformation was there was a what is called the council or what? Texas, yeah, that was Texas. Yeah, I remember now. And then now they have restructured. And then instead of having that Texas, the head of Texas now has been made a DDG.
Oh.
Of 80%, yeah. So now, that was a temporary situation they were going to remedy. But the instrument to deliver the service deliver transformation is no longer there. And I think that is what the Faro is saying.
I think I'm covered, Chairperson, if we are not going to remove that point altogether, because I would suggest that we find a way, you know, when we have got the correct information, we find a way of including it, because it is really important, and it does affect, for instance, the SMMEs that are in the tourism industry, if it happens. So I'm just saying, once we have found the information, find a way of putting it in anyway.
Okay, you see, I think having...
But I must say, the part I like about it is that the committee recommends the Auditor General to consider a possibility of auditing departments and entities on the payment period. I think for me, that is really the main part.
Recommendation.
Yeah, if the Auditor General has to be involved in ensuring that this 30-day payment happens, because we all know it's not only in tourism, it's really almost right through the various departments.
Okay, let us manage this way. If we want to follow that to that 30-day period, we can ask a question. And then, but have this, take the proposal of Mamunjo. Do you get my point? The proposal by Mamunjo stays, and then our concern, any person, any member here can ask them the question about in tourism, what is the situation about responding to what the president said, which was that the service provider should be paid within the 30-day period.
Thank you, Chair. Can I check? I'm just begging in my mind to understand. Is it not that all entities and government are being audited, therefore they are internal auditors that deal with the risk issues that will also include the payment of the suppliers, if that entity deals with the suppliers also? Are we now saying that the AG should pick up or single out as a priority the area of payment, or shouldn't we say that checking the entities in terms of their risk areas, what have they done? Because I know the CA, the what do you call them? The consultant that deals with the audit, the auditors, yes, the auditors, whatever the private sector or government one, they also pick up those points, what they have done with those areas. So that if it's a 2-year challenge, what are the mitigating factors to address that factor? because if you say the AG should deal with that one, you might find one of our entities that are not necessarily compared to use the AG, but what is the AG's role? That becomes a policy issue and an act issue, so that you relate the two. But I think the research should also try to assist on that, because there are legal factors in terms of the roles. Thank you. Thank you, Chan. Already, like, because we were able to pick up from our department, from the Auditor General's report, whether they pay on time or not. So for the financial 2010-2011, the department was not paying suppliers on time. Now, that should be also indicated in each and every department's annual report from the statement of the Auditor General. So it's not something that should be done, already been done, but those departments that have been failing in that regard, it's indicated on their annual reports to say that these departments were not paying suppliers on time. So that weakness has been already indicated in those annual reports. But the difficulty at the current juncture is that we don't have current annual reports to see whether there's been an improvement in terms of paying of suppliers or whether they've been lagging. But what I suggested from what Butch just said was to say that in terms of paying of suppliers, we cannot say it's a departmental issue, which is Department of Tourism. Mm-hmm. What we can raise in the recommendation is to say that the MOUs that the DG spoke of, that they've got MOUs with different departments, those MOUs should be strengthened to look at issues that deal with payment of suppliers in the tourism industry, to say that our departments are adhering to that. And that can be an issue that can be raised at the cabinet level, to say that what are the things that are done by the different departments to ensure that tourism suppliers are paid on time. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily saying that we should be, the department should be, Auditor General should investigate, because that's already been done by Auditor General currently. And it looks at that, because the PSMA requires that be done.
No, thank you, Chair. I'm concerned about this Department of Tourism. So I feel strong that this statement that says the department pivots and not adhere to what it's actually not correct, because of the information you get from Ms. Mbunki, that we are not sure about the present report. Can't we take this statement out, maybe to try to shape what other techniques, what the DG, of course it is there that each and every panel DG will talk about this thing. But I don't know how can we put, but I'm afraid of putting this, as if the Department of Tourism is guilty on this matter. So I don't know how can we put it better in any way. That's why my feeling was that we should just take it out here if you don't have effect on this matter. So we must not find ourselves being unfair to the department as well.
You see, we've got to appear professional and being people of integrity. When we do not have facts, we do not mention, and then rather ask a question in Parliament, because we've got a responsibility to protect the image of Parliament as members of Parliament as well. So we cannot accuse DGs or whatever of what is incorrect. So let us just steer away from that. But if you want to know how the department deals with SMMPs and some of the limitations that are there in the department, you go to FEGASA, the FEGASA presentation, you'll get some of the best and so forth.
Thanks,
Chairperson.
I'll support that if we do not specify. You know, because even that day, we are up to some examples. As a result, if you remember, I even said that I'm still facing the challenge of the organization that I've approached for social development to do something for in December, which up until today, social development, they have not paid that person. As a result, I ended up changing numbers, running away from answering the number. You know,
So really, that I'm telling you, really, that really, before then we accuse the department will be sure of what is happening. Because now, I can say, if I was in social development, I was going to say that social development, now I'm running away from my community because of what you've done. You know, it is clear, it is like that. So we need to be specific like that.
No, I do agree. Where we have facts, let us just direct. But where we do not, I shall not show off all of that. It's rather better to be, to handle that as a question or something like that. Not as if it is a fact. Right, I think we are about to be through.
So the debate is only 3rd of May, but 3 days before that, this commentary report must be in the parliamentary paper. Meaning that by Monday the 30th of April, at least our report must be on parliamentary paper. So it must be there 3 days prior to the debate.
If I were to ask last year's distinct priorities, have they been met, and where they have not been met, are we having an acceptable explanation? Research.
Thanks, Chair. What I have done is, if you look at the analysis, I have highlighted things that the department could not meet. So those things highlight some of the national priorities, like, for instance, the issue of transformation. The issue of transformation is a concern because definitely are not being supported enough. The issue of training of young students, it was also raised to say that since 800 students were put into the youth program to be trained as chefs, and only 531 graduated from the program, what does that mean in terms of the department's targets? Because the target was 800, and only 531 graduated. And what does it mean financially? What are the memorandum of understanding that are done by the department when training students? Because, like, for instance, in the South African Defence Force, when somebody is taken into a particular program, if they don't finish the program, there are certain consequences that follow such. So that people don't take advantage of these programs and not finish them and take them for granted. So those are the things that I had raised to say that what are the repercussions in terms of training of these people, so that people stay in the training programs and finish them, because sometimes people just let them, they just go halfway and then they just drop out.
Yeah.
And whereas they are being paid, and the for instance, the chef program, 20 million was spent on the youth chef program. So it's a lot of money that is being spent for people to just drop out without anything that is done on that. There's a need to look into that, to say what is the department doing about it, because it is not only about training, it's about effective training that results in the industry growth. So if it does not result in that, then there's a problem there. Thank you.
Even this draft budget vote needs more time than we have. But you see, let us agree, let us to assist in the process, and then when I sign the report, it should be your report, if you get what I mean. On the issue of promoting job creation, are we satisfied? On the issue of developing rural, these are 2011, let us, and then on the 2011-2012 distinct priorities, which have been, do you have a list of them? Okay.
I can, some of them, like for instance, the issue of job creation, yes. It was then updated by the same.
Yes.
The developing of rural tourism, it was just rural tourism, it had no culture and heritage and
yes.
Domestic, and the issue of service excellence was there. And transformation was also there. But the other ones of expanding tourism infrastructure was not there. Facilitating tourist development was not there. And increasing investment in the tourism sector was not there. So what I can do today is to look at those and then highlight in the budget report which ones we have captured. And I can send those to Jerry that we have not captured, and then he can send it to the members, because it will only be a few things that members would need to look at to say we include these ones on the recommendations or not.
Okay. I think, yeah, where we succeeded, because like quality assurance, and then there is something that has happened, whether we succeeded or not. Service excellence, there is something that has happened. Facilitating transformation of the sector. There is a recommendation we can make there. providing opportunities for youth in church program, promoting entrepreneurship, I'm not aware, oh, that is the, this year's recent program, increasing investment in the tourism sector. What are the programs last year? Responsible tourism, what are the programs last year? Expanding tourism infrastructure. Now, here the here is the irony then. The department says it facilitates tourism in the country. Then where are the resources for expanding tourism infrastructure in the whole program? Do we have that? You said that. Or facilitating product development, coordination, stakeholder cooperation and partnership, strengthening information and knowledge management, growing the market locally and internationally from a tourism perspective. So what we'll do is that you look at these things, and then we update this document and send you simply email by tomorrow morning. Just update you the performance.
We have captured everything, Chair. So what we are going to do now, we'll go back to the office, all the issues that were raised by members, and those issues they wanted to be concerns, to be recommendations, we will put them in, all of them, and then we'll recirculate the document again to all members.
And then if you do not respond by Friday, then we assume that you have accepted it, right? Okay. Sure. Then let us go to the next report. It's already 1 o'clock. We cannot go any further. And let us look at the deadline now for the report. What is the deadline for draft 24 report? We can still have next week we won't be having a meeting. So the other week, the 8th. Yeah, let us postpone this for the 8th. What are we going to be having on the 8th in the program? The following week is
then following it's the 15th, and then we can also include them as part of the proceedings of the day.
Okay. I was reading there, and then please do comment, because I submitted my comments in writing on the study on Mexico, and I understand some of you have done so. So, let us manage it in such a way that it will be very, very quick next time we have the report on Mexico. Miss Julie?
I'm not sure, because on the program we don't have the 15th. So, there's
no
meeting on the 15th. There's nothing on the
program.
Okay.
But can you then submit your comments either in writing or what? And then also this Friday, so that we can look at the text, we can sign where we have to sign. Why you disagree, and then we negotiate.
This report said almost to most members, in fact, all members who were on the delegation, they did submit their input. So all the input were included in the report. What is left now is just for members to ratify the report. That's all that is left. Because members, all of them, you submitted the comments, in fact, all members who were on the delegation. And have submitted their inputs, and then we incorporated them in the entire report. So this is the final product of what has been submitted.
Okay.
those members who are not there, they must start.
Yes, no, sir, I think she just, Madaka talked about where we were backing up, because we have contributed to the report and to adopt it today, because the finance is the final product of ours, not the original. Thank you. No, I had submitted the issue of the experiences we had when we left one, and where the details report, okay, you know, the experiences that we had when we went there, I think need to be reported as well. Not getting the flights on the same day, the operator, and then moving the second day only to find that in... But if it is there, I did not have enough time to look through. But if it is there, it's okay. So the parliament can improve.
Yes.
We cannot employ service providers that do not know the job.
Why?
At the expense of members. If a service provider has never sent people overseas, whether it's transformation or not, that's a major project they cannot undertake. That is the first thing. The second thing, the service provider has not even apologized or written anything. I mean, the thing is that it's either there is nepotism or what, but at my expense, that is unacceptable. That is that and whether they are friends of the speaker or whatever, what happened to us is unacceptable. Yes, it's true.
Sorry, Chair. I understand this is going to go on record, but it was not the service provider that made that was the challenge in terms of organizing the thing. So if there's anything, it might have been in Parliament, because it's not the service provider. The service provider, the only thing that it does is to book the flights and ensure that people do their visits. The visits are done somewhere else. So the flight itinerary tells you as Parliament that you should have visas for these particular countries. And the problem was with the, I think, with Jensen, with the international relations people in Parliament, but not the service provider, because the service provider told Bujo to go to the international relations to rectify what are the visas that are needed for this country. So I just need to correct that, because it looks like the service provider is on the wrong.
Okay, because really, if Parliament is incompetent, we've got to alert it that it is incompetent in this area and that area, so that it improves.
Mm-hmm.
But we cannot just be wishy-washy on that issue.
Yeah, that's exactly the point that this is highlighting. You see, when I ask myself, what happened to that international debt that's used to organize, overseas travel for committees? I was told the office was closed down.
Oh.
I don't know if that is true. Because if it was, I would then say this point needs to be raised with the people. We need that office. Because I think myself, we got into this trouble. I don't know whether it's because the secretary, Jerry, was the one who was responsible for the arrangement. If it was Jerry, then I wouldn't blame Jerry, because we need to have experience in these things, many experiences to be able to come out that efficiently. But there was an office here, and I know very well that it was a lady. There was a lady who was running that office, and if there was a trip a committee was to take, and you were a delegate in that visit,
she would actually contact you personally about what was needed and wanted. So by the time the trip actually came, you had all the information. So I think there's something that Parliament needs to do to ensure, you know, it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, I think we can just make a recommendation that such and such a thing has to be strengthened. But also people should care. No one even asked whether the people eat or whatever. You remember I bought you food.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever asked whether because I paid now I should be refunded or whatever. It's just a clumsy situation. And it's just left like that. Okay, you cannot get a flight. That's it. And the government does not allow that.
No,
that is the problem. No one says you're sorry, whatever. It just ended there.
We even called the minister. You remember on Friday? Did she say anything?
No. The minister we phoned, it was Minister of International
Affairs. I'm saying the very same one.
No. That minister has nothing to do with him. He's not working for arranging for him. So it's these things that have to be attended to. Because we've got to make Parliament work better. But the members may let us look at this report and then finalize the matter and this week in the same way as this report. For purposes of debate, I think this budget report is going to be useful. But I do not know whether PMG and the committee section can provide us, particularly those members who are new, with last year's minutes but not on hard copy. On email, right? And then if you are not on email, it should be sent to your secretary. Is that possible, Jerry?
Minutes of what you said?
No, the
all the meetings.
The entire 2011.
The entire 2011, but on email.
No, but you know what the problem is? The principle of the material.
You won't say you read from the computer.
No.
Oh, you read what you need. You see what happens is that you'll be debating on different issues.
Yeah, for us it will be crucial to know what happened then and what improvement has happened now, what hasn't happened.
You see, if members are not having sense, the problem is, if members are not having sense, they tend to attend each other, and then the value of the debate just goes down, just sinks. Whereas if people have facts, they refer to facts, and then debate using the facts.
Okay, we don't need the whole thing. As my colleague was saying, you see, that's why they've given us this draft budget review report. Just that report.
Budget review.
For last year. That would be good enough for us to get a picture of where it was, where it is now.
Okay. And then for purposes also following up, you can go to the PMG site and get also the reports on different meetings, what happened and so on. And then the meetings, can you get our minutes from internet from here in Parliament?
No.
PMG.
PMG has got. So let us get those reports from PNG, and then our minutes, and then perhaps if those that require information, say on FEDATA or whatever, can contact the secretary, and then the secretary can provide them, and then continue to answer. Only for it's all
No, whatever information I need, Imama, thank you. whatever information then I'll ask you to give me, because the members are speaking for themselves. I might need those details because they are not, report doesn't tell you the issues that have been raised, so that the follow-up in some instances, they only deal with the budget here. You can see that some of the things are not necessarily covered. Thank you.
Okay. No. We'll just ask each other, and then we'll go to the research department as well. But we're just mentioning the options, because when you're alone there writing a speech, you need sometimes you think, hey, by the way, what was said in that meeting? And by the way, where are the facts? That is what I thought we want you to be. You can contact the researcher, you can contact those sources as well. Then the remainder of the international study, so they diagnostic overview of the National Planning Commission. Let us also limit it that way. Comment if there is no comment, we ask you that it is understood.
I want to comment on the formulation on page 10 of the Mexican approach. It's a very small thing, but it concerns me sometimes. You see, if we look at the formulation, they're talking about Mexico. Well, when you say Mexico, I suppose we're referring to the government. I'm worried about us personalizing them and speaking of them as they see this, their kind of tourists. They use this, their global travel. And yet, if you look at point 1.10, then that's the kind of formulation personally I would agree with. When you say Mexico use culture, Mexico has a strategy, Mexico has different roles, and so on and so forth. Instead of saying they, as if you are thinking of the individuals in the government, the individuals they. But I think actually we're talking about the government, not the individuals within the government. I hope I'm getting myself
understood.
That's correct. It is a second language to many of us. Sometimes we don't get the exact meaning of that thing. But now that you say it, I grasp what you mean. Then let us again, and then the draft committee meetings will meet. We will discuss at the next meeting.
Before we go to Mitchell,
Before we go to Mitchell, please. The Whip has requested that the members of the AAC should remain.
Okay.